Have you ever needed to end a conversation about abortion? Maybe your team was about to leave. Maybe you would run its natural course through a conversation. Maybe there's other reasons why you needed to end a conversation. How are you supposed to do it? Well, that's what the focus of today's episode is all about. Stay tuned. Hi, folks. Welcome back to the Pro-Life Guys podcast, a show dedicated to equipping you with the tools that you need to have compassionate and compelling conversations about abortion so that together we can change minds, save lives, and transform our culture. My name is Cam. I am the host of the show. Thank you to all of you for tuning in, whether you are a first-time listener or whether you are a long-time listener. I really appreciate you being here along for the ride. I appreciate the feedback that you're sending, whether on social media, whether on your podcatchers with your reviews and your ratings, whether to the email at prolifeguys.com. Love getting your feedback, working on a few different episode ideas coming based on that feedback. There's a YouTube suggestion on how do you talk to people who support abortion for religious reasons. I know there's a number of people that have cited whether it's Christianity. We had a lot of people while we were down in Florida. Spoiler alert, I'm going to talk a little bit about Florida here in a moment, who are Muslim. And how do you talk to people who are Muslim who may support abortion for religious reasons, things like that. So that's going to be coming down the tube. Number of other episodes. I got a bunch of recordings this week. Tomorrow, time of recording. Today is Monday, March 4th. I believe this will get posted tomorrow, Tuesday, March 5th. I have run through my entire list of pre-recorded episodes, and so I'm back into the recording booth again this week. Tomorrow, I'm talking with Trevor Polo from Protect Life Michigan, so that'll be coming out in coming weeks. And on Wednesday, I'm speaking with Destiny from New Wave Feminist, I want to say, New Age Feminist, something like that, Feminist for Life, a pro-life feminist. She's wonderful. That'll be coming out down the tube as well. And so stay tuned for those. And at the end of today's episode, I'm going to talk a little bit about our Florida experience. We were down doing the Abortion Awareness Project on campuses in Florida for the last 2 weeks with an incredible team of participants and staff. And so I'll give them more of a shout out towards the end because I know there's some people who want to dive right into the core content immediately. And I respect that. And so I'll talk a little bit more about that towards the end. And then we'll also do a recap episode on Florida as a bonus episode coming out in the coming weeks. And so you can stay tuned for that as well. But as I mentioned off the top, how do you end conversations? I'm sure that many of us have been in a conversation, whether while doing outreach as part of a pro-life ministry, doing it on a street corner or on a doorstep, at a campus, at a high school, somewhere like that where you've gotten locked into a conversation and you need to end it for one reason or another. Maybe you've also gotten into these conversations with friends or family members, maybe with coworkers, and you need to end the conversation, maybe because your shift is over, maybe because you're getting into that awkward stage and you don't want this to be hindering or preventing a future conversation from happening. You've realized that you need to end it. What do you do? Well, first, I want to talk a little bit about why you would be wanting to end a conversation and then finally how to. And so why you would want to end a conversation, there's a few reasons why you might want to end a conversation. A few of them are purely pragmatic. A few of them are relational and for the sake of the other person. The first one that I think is purely pragmatic is time. Of whether you're part of an outreach team, I'm sure that we've all been doing outreach with somebody that wasn't able to end a conversation. And you're out there, you're doing activism. It was supposed to wrap up at 1:30 p.m. You've been there for the whole lunch hour. 1:30, the leader comes around, they collect the signs, so they tell everyone to start wrapping up. You finish up your conversation in a couple of minutes, and then the wait is on. And 1:30 turns into 1:40, turns into 1:50, turns into 2 o'clock, turns into 10 after two. And you're tapping your watch saying, okay, this person is still in a conversation. Why are they still in a conversation? I got to get to work. I want to debrief. I'm okay sticking around, but I didn't want to get into another conversation. It can be a bit of a delicate dilemma for how long you stay in a conversation because you do need to, in some ways, respect the time of your fellow volunteers, fellow staff members. You might have other obligations that you need to get to. You might have classes that you have to get to. You might have other obligations that you have to get to. You might have to pick your kids up from school, things like that, that you may not be flexible on being able to delay. And if you are flexible, then certainly there's opportunities to continue a conversation, provided you are still moving in a meaningful direction. I think this again speaks to the value of having a roadmap for how you want to be having conversations, so that you're not just, I don't think that you're ever really wasting your time per se, but I think that you can be very imprudent with your time if you're allowing conversations to kind of just range all over the place and not have any degree of focus and just kind of keep unraveling. If it becomes an exercise in futility, if it becomes an exercise, even though it may be enjoyable, in simply hearing yourself speak, then it's time to end a conversation. It's time, at the very least, to get back to the roadmap, to get back to the roadmap of, am I addressing a justification, and getting them from there to understand that, yes, while we acknowledge there are incredibly important challenges that demand solutions, we have to weigh the presence of the human life that is developing within the mother's womb and the value of that human life. And we cannot solve even the most challenging of problems by killing innocent humans. That human rights begin when the human's life begins. And therefore, at the very least, we have to get our conversations back on track to the roadmap, knowing where you are and where you're going. I'm going to drop a link in the show notes below for anyone who might be a little bit bamboozled by what I'm talking about by the roadmap. If you're relatively new, this is something that you can expect to hear about a lot. And so if you are new, please check out the episode in the show notes about how to have these effective conversations using the roadmap for these good conversations. However, let's assume that you are using the roadmap and that you are processing through and through and through, and you're simply running out of time. You have other commitments. And just as we talked about in the past, if we're not dealing with the urgency of literally a human life on the line, it might be appropriate to invite and empower that person to continue their considerations of the abortion issue on their own or within a different medium or context. And so time can be a relevant factor, both for your own commitments and, unfortunately, for the commitments of your team. I know this is a tough pill to swallow for a lot of us when we feel like we are still making a little bit of progress, and yet we've got an entire team waiting on us It's a little bit unfortunately disrespectful towards the rest of our team and the longevity and the stability of that team, that if somebody says, you know what, I'm constantly getting home late going to activism because though it's scheduled from 1 till 2:30, we end up sticking around till 3 o'clock every single time because Cam won't end his conversations, and either we're not getting a debrief in or we're getting a debrief and we're compromising the safety and security of the other participants. Because if a leader has to be vigilant for what's going on with that person who's still in a conversation. And so they can't really dive into a debrief because that's really distracting for them to be trying to talk through and mentor volunteers and participants in their conversations and how they're going, while still keeping an eye on the conversations that are still on the go. And so often the leader ends up waiting to do debrief because you're trying to keep all of your attention on the safety of your team. And also because you don't want people to be overhearing your debrief and explaining what you should have done to change somebody's mind or something like that. Often we're debriefing offsite. Often we're debriefing away from where we're actually doing activism. And so you're often struck with that difficult thing that either you're leaving without a debrief and you're not improving and you're not growing in your abilities because you're not getting that feedback from the leader, or else you are waiting and waiting and waiting for that debrief until everyone's done their conversations. And so there's a time factor. And then I feel like there's a factor of diminishing returns. The second reason why you might be inclined to end a conversation, why you as the pro-lifer might be inclined to proactively end the conversation. Obviously, they get ended on us all the time. We're going to talk a little bit about that as well. if there's diminishing returns from that conversation, and not only diminishing returns within your conversation, but maybe even the impact that it's having on the conversations around you. Sometimes there's very loud and boisterous conversations, which we get into, which can be really, really valuable conversations. I certainly don't want to end a conversation just because somebody's being loud and belligerent. That's often, as we've spoken about in the past, somebody who is hurting from having this bright light turned on in the dark room that they tragically have been living in for a portion or all of their life. And so I don't want to end a conversation because somebody shouting at me is uncomfortable. However, there are conversations that might have diminishing returns because they are preventing other people from having conversations. Maybe it's so much of a spectacle that my fellow volunteers or staff members or interns are not even able to have conversations because it's so distracting, because it's so all-consuming that people are not willing to stop and have a conversation because they're worried about being implicated in one way or another. Maybe it's because it's so loud that nobody else is able to have a conversation. We have to have that in mind as well. And we're going to have strategies on how to lower the intensity or emotion in a conversation. There's episodes on that that you can reference as well. But when it comes to how do we end a conversation? Again, this is after we've tried to get it back to our roadmap. This is after we have tried to feel out whether or not there's a personal experience that is preventing this conversation from moving forward. If there are diminishing returns, often because of a roadblock of logic or academic integrity or simple acceptance of the facts, if we are coming back to over and over again whether or not this preborn child is human, and you simply cannot seemingly convince them because the evidence that you're providing is not being received, not being accepted, then that might be an indicator. The fact that you're coming back to the same thing over and over again, and you've probed for whether or not this is a heart issue, as it were, a personal experience with trauma or with abortion, and it's just not there. And maybe it's somebody who is not taking abortion, I don't want to say quite as seriously as you, but in the same manner as you. Maybe for them it's more of a mental exercise than it is a moral emergency. And there's four things that I want to do to try to end a conversation, whether it's because of time or whether it's because the conversation itself is having diminishing returns for myself, for them, and for the rest of the team. Four things that I want to do. First, I want to thank them for participating and engaging in that conversation. I want to articulate my gratitude for them participating in it and acknowledge the fact that many people don't engage in this issue at all for a variety of reasons. I want to plant this seed because I'm going to come back to it with my fourth point, but I'm not going to spoil that right away. My first point, I want to articulate gratitude for their stopping and engaging on the issue. The second thing that I want to do is I want to be crystal clear in where they are at. I want to give a thorough but fair articulation, a capture of their worldview. And this is going to be articulated along the lines of, thank you very much for taking the time to engage with me and have this conversation. This is such an important conversation that not enough people are having. So I thank you for being here. From my vantage point, this is where it feels like we are at. It feels as though we have talked about the justifications that are relevant and considered for people who are considering abortion. And we've talked about how we don't solve these problems by killing innocent humans, but we've gotten stuck on whether or not they're humans. And so I really think that this is where we are, whether or not these are living members of the human species. I want to share with them the roadmap that I'm using. And so if you're stuck in the justifications, then you're going to say, you know what, What I feel like we've talked about so far is that there are a ton of problems that mothers and fathers are faced with, right? We've talked about sexual assault. We've talked about this. We've talked about that. We've spent a lot of time talking about the problems that mothers and fathers are faced with during pregnancy. And step three is going to be what we do next. And so if you're stuck on justifications, then you're going to say, this is where we're at in conversation. This is where we're stuck. or humanity. This is where we're stuck. We're stuck on whether or not this is a living member of the human species. We're stuck on whether or not human life begins at fertilization. We're stuck on whether or not the clump of cells is human or not, something like that. Articulating that, maybe it's a value statement. We're stuck on whether or not living members of the human species gain value by achieving this particular stage of development or this capacity to do this particular thing or something like that. You are going to lay out to them where in the roadmap you are stuck. And not you personally, but where they are stuck themselves and where the conversation has stalled. Whether that's justifications, whether that's humanity, whether that's personhood, whether that is why you're talking about abortion in the first place. And so you are going to first thank them. Second, clarify thoroughly but fairly where the conversation has gotten stuck. And number three is what needs to happen next. And what needs to happen next is going to depend on where you're stuck in the roadmap. If you're stuck in the roadmap at justifications, then the next step is to grapple with whether or not we can kill innocent humans to solve problems. Can you actually do that? And that's going to lead them towards, okay, well, maybe we shouldn't actually be stuck here. Maybe we should be stuck at the humanity. And if they come back with, but they're not human, okay, that's where we needed to get to. Maybe that opens the door for extending the conversation. But if they're stuck with justifications, then you need to leave them with the thing that we need to resolve is whether we can kill innocent humans to solve problems. If they're stuck with the humanity, what we need to solve is whether or not these are living members of the human species. And I want to invite you or challenge you to Google it when you get home. I want to challenge you or invite you to check out a textbook at your local university. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. I want you to really consider who we should be asking for the expert opinion on when human life begins. If you're stuck on humanity, the solution that must be proceeded with is a human answer, scientific answer. If you're stuck on personhood, you're going to clarify that. And then what needs to happen is we need to reconcile why age-based or ability-based discrimination is any better than any other form of discrimination. Why must we earn our human rights? Why don't human rights begin when a human's life begin? Okay, so you're going to thank them. You are going to articulate clearly and fairly where the conversation is stuck. You are going to articulate what needs to happen next. And fourth, as I alluded to, connects back to the first one, why this conversation matters, why they need to take that next step. Next step is this, and we need to answer this question because at the end of the day, 300 preborn children are being killed every single day in Canada. And what would we do if 300 born children were being killed every day in Canada? Ultimately, we are modifying a Pascal's wager kind of argument of we need to end, we need to bring this conversation further than where it's at right now. Because if pro-lifers are wrong, if abortion does not directly and intentionally kill an innocent living human being, then no justification for abortion is necessary. And we're a bunch of jerks, and there's a growing number of jerks, and there's a concerningly growing number of jerks. From the last 2 weeks alone, we witnessed over 700 people change their mind entirely on the abortion issue. There are 700 potentially new jerks in Florida alone because of the outreach that we're doing. There's a growing number of people who are misled in their understanding of abortion. And so that's the one risk. However, if pro-lifers are right, if the abortion advocate is wrong, then we are enabling what can easily be considered genocide. You might not want to throw the genocide word out there because that might shut people down cognitively because they aren't able to process the magnitude of the weight that comes along with that. But if abortion does directly and intentionally kill an innocent, valuable human, then no justification for abortion is adequate. And there are hundreds of thousands of babies being killed in Canada. There's babies being killed around the world in the order of tens of millions every single year then, if abortion is wrong. And so you need to articulate why they need to take that next step. They need to take the next step to determine whether or not you can kill innocent humans to solve problems. They need to take that next step as to whether or not the academic evidence that human life begins at fertilization is clear or not. They need to take the next step as to whether or not we can discriminate human rights based on our age or ability, because this really, really matters. And so again, you've got four things. Thank them. Clearly and fairly articulate their position. Number three is articulate the next step that they need to take to continue progressing towards the natural conclusion to this conversation. And four, the incentive, the impetus behind getting there. Why do you need to take this next step? Why do you need to grapple with this question? Why do you need to do this research? Why do you need to change your mind on abortion? And those four things capped off with a handshake, a thank you, a did you get a pamphlet, and a gentle invitation to leave is often how you can end conversations. And if you walk through the four of those, the overwhelming majority of people are going to acknowledge that and move on from the conversation. There's going to be two kinds of people that don't. One are the people that are well-meaning but entirely socially unaware. And you might have to literally end it by saying, I thank you for this conversation. I'm going to chat with other people to get more people thinking about this as well. Because as you and I agreed, this is an important conversation for more people to be thinking about. And so I thank you for your considerations. I'm going to chat with a few more people before the end of the day. And they're at that point, if you're that direct, they are going to be able to pick up on that socially, or they're going to fit into that last category of people that are explicitly trying to waste your time. And if they are explicitly trying to waste your time, you don't necessarily need to give them your time. Don't be rude. Don't be undermine the integrity of your display by yelling at them or something like that. They have the right to engage with you in a conversation, and it can be really frustrating because sometimes you're stuck talking to them until the display is over. You can try to end the conversation. You can try to start other conversations, but if they sabotage those conversations, you might still be trying to hand out pamphlets. You might still be trying to circulate them, but then you're probably into a different kind of conversation with that saboteur of why are they trying to prevent the conversation from happening? Why are they intimidated by the outcome of those conversations? They have heard why you're having the conversations and how you're having the conversations. And if they are daunted by the fact that by you having a conversation, somebody might change their mind on abortion, then let's present our argument side by side, or continue this conversation in a meaningful way. And if not, then that seems very antithetical to their supposed position of pro-choice of, if you're preventing people from having the conversation in the first place and even hearing the alternative perspective, then what does that say about your own message? And so, unfortunately, there's only so many things that you can do while at a display like a choice chain display where you're holding a sign on a street corner. You can't formally prevent somebody from stopping and talking to you. Like, you're not going to have a tremendous amount of success calling the cops and saying like, hey, this person won't stop talking to me. Okay, are they harassing you? Yes, they're harassing me. Well, what are you doing? I'm trying to talk to people. Okay, and you have somebody who wants to talk to you. Yeah, but I don't want to talk to them anymore. Okay, so you want to talk to people, just not the person that wants to talk to you. Tough beans. You're probably not going to get a whole ton of sympathy from somebody so long as they're being appropriate and not actually verbally assaulting you or harassing you in a formal legal criminal kind of sense. And so if they're doing that, then you'll have a legal case and you can call the cops, talk to your leader, all that kind of thing. But to be able to wrap things up with that in mind. Same thing goes if you're running out of time, if they're running out of time, if you're getting to the end of the lunch hour and you're saying, okay, I got to be back on shift here. This isn't simply a matter of getting the final word. I don't think that you need to try to say the last thing in conversation, but you need to anchor something in their mind going forward. And so if you have a coworker, a friend, a family member that you are getting to the end of what is socially appropriate and you're going to end this because you want the door to be open for a future conversation, you gauge that, you know, this is starting to get hostile in a personal way, and I've got a good relationship with them and I want them to cool off and re-engage at another time. Same thing goes at the end of a lunch hour. Same thing goes. Thank you for being willing to engage in this. It's such an important topic for us to think about and consider, and ultimately act upon. Here's where the conversation has stalled. Here's where we are stuck. Here's where we are ending our conversation. Three, here's what needs to happen next in our conversation for this to continue proceeding towards its natural conclusion. And fourth and finally, here's why it needs to proceed to a natural conclusion, because of the fierce urgency of now, the urgency of the human rights violation of abortion. Either there's a growing number of jerks out there that are trying to take away a woman's right to choose what happens to her own body because there's no other human being involved, or there's an alarmingly high number of innocent human beings who are being killed in the greatest human rights violation of our day, at the very least, if not of all time. That's what's at stake. That's why your continued engagement and ultimately your action is necessary. I hope that makes sense. If you have any questions on that, please don't hesitate to let me know. Email me at email@prolifeguys.com. Hit me up on social media as well. We're specifically on Facebook and Instagram. I'm sorry, I don't, I'm not capable at this time of doing much more than that. I know that YouTube isn't technically social media, but you can hit me up on YouTube as well if you'd like. Drop a comment on there, like and subscribe to the YouTube channel in particular. We've grown up over 650 followers, which is phenomenal. I really appreciate each and every one of you. Please continue to keep pushing that up. I would love to try to be able to hit 1,000 by the end of the day on my little whiteboard on my wall over here. I have research, search engine optimization on YouTube. I get a million messages from people saying like, hey, you're terrible at YouTube. Pay us and we'll do search engine optimization for you. And unfortunately, that's not the best use of CSPR's money at this point. But it is something I'm gonna do a little bit of research on to try to expand our YouTube engagement. And so there's that. I did mention off the top that I do a bit of a synopsis of our Florida trip. Some of you may have seen a few story updates from me while I was down in Florida. I was down for about 10 days. I went down to provide some training for both weeks of our trip. So we take two groups of young men and women down to Florida during February. We do 2 weeks. We had, I think, 33 people the first week and 25 people the second week to do pro-life training and outreach. We go down to Florida for a variety of reasons. First of all, because it's sunny and warm and Canada is not in February. Second of all, because often we have a different reading break than American universities. And so this was initially targeted towards college and university students who in Canada would be on reading break during the middle of February and would be able to go down to Florida where they were not on reading break and talk to students while on campus. And third and finally, because of the nature of free speech and the kinds of conversations that we're able to have down there, many people were able to have dozens upon dozens of conversations each day down there for a variety of reasons. People may be a little bit more open to talking about abortion. They might be a little bit more intellectually honest when talking about abortion. And so it's a phenomenal training ground for getting a lot of momentum and a lot of mentorship on having good conversations. And so we brought these two teams down and it was absolutely phenomenal. I cannot speak highly enough, first of all, of the participants and their courageous sacrifice going down there for a week, taking time off work, taking time away from school, or simply dedicating their reading break rather to relaxing, to doing insane hours of leaving the host homes at 6 o'clock in the morning and not getting back to them until 8 p.m. or 10 p.m. or something like that at night. It was incredible to see the sacrifice and the commitment of all of the participants. A huge thank you to all of our hosts and sponsors who made the trip happen. And for lastly, for all of the staff who were there. I know that I was fortunate in that I was only down there for a portion of the time. I wasn't able to stay for the whole 2 weeks, but most of the staff were. And I cannot thank them enough for all the sacrifices that they made in the preparation, in making it such a smooth and wonderful trip, for all the support they offered to the participants. The staff did a phenomenal job. And in the span of 8 days of outreach, 4 days each week. And so we do training on Saturday. We do services and rest on the Sunday, and then we do 4 days of campus outreach before everyone flies home the next Friday. In 8 days of activism, we had well over 2,000 conversations about abortion. Over 2,000 conversations about abortion, which is wild in and of itself. And of those just over 2,000 conversations, we saw over 700 people who came into the conversation supporting abortion in one way or another become fully pro-life by the end of those conversations. Over 700. That is absolutely wild. We had an incredible percentage of fantastic outcomes. Over 30% of the abortion supportive people coming into a conversation that we talked to became fully pro-life by the end of a conversation, with right around an additional 25, almost 30% more becoming significantly more pro-life. So under 40% of people who came into a conversation supporting abortion in one way or another walked away without at the very least having become significantly more pro-life, if not fully pro-life. That is absolutely insane. A lot of people, unfortunately, are not blessed to witness anybody change their mind on abortion through decades of pro-life outreach. And yet we witnessed over 700 people fully change their mind on abortion. So, so cool. Praise God for that blessing that so many people were able to be a part of. Thank you again for all the sacrifices made by the team, the participants, the hosts, and the staff who made it happen. And stay tuned for a full Florida update. And so thanks a ton for tuning in. Exciting content coming down the tube here in the coming weeks. And again, let's remember those four tools for how do you end a conversation about abortion. One, thank them very much for engaging on an important issue. Two, clearly and fairly describe their position on abortion at the end of the conversation. Three, articulate the next step necessary for them. And four, why that next step must be taken because of the urgency of the abortion issue. I hope that's really helpful for many of you. I hope that helps you be mindful of your conversations. Again, we don't want to be ending our conversations before they need to. Don't just end them because you feel like you're going in circles. There's often reasons why you're going in circles, whether it's because you've lost sight of the roadmap, whether it's because you are not quite as refined as you'd like to be, whether it's because you need to probe for personal experience with trauma or abortion. There's a number of reasons why conversations might seem like they have diminishing returns, but if you do need to end a conversation because of time or because of those diminishing returns, those are your four tools for how to do it. Thanks a ton, and may God bless you abundantly wherever you're at, however many hours are left in your day.